It didn't start off well to start to tell you, but our first week we were thinking about 1 John and starting this journey through these letters. We were in Hagley Park and we were thinking about how God reveals God's self to us through scripture and through our faith traditions, through our reasoning and or our deep intuition and our experiences. And we sat on the grass as the trees around us were unfurling into leaf and the cow parsley was swaying in the breeze. And we really didn't need any words. Creation was revealing God and all their creativity and beauty to us. And we reflected that the ultimate revelation of God, of who God is and what God is like, is in the person of Jesus, fully God and fully human, and the invitation that we have to follow Christ. Last week I was away, but I know that you looked back over the last year and then ahead to the new year as you celebrated God's amazing love and presence with us as a church community in our AGM. And this week I've been visiting with friends and at a work conference and have been preparing for today and thinking about it. Unfortunately, I was looking at the wrong chapter, so that was my... a bit of a shock on Thursday when I talked with Jill and went, oh, whoops, okay. So while we're up to 1 John chapter 3, and I've been thinking about 1 John chapter 2. So fortunately for me, though, is that Sean didn't speak on 1 John chapter 2 last week. He had another text. And so this week, we're going to look at 2 and 3 a little bit. It's probably a good thing to do, really, to remind us that these letters were not broken up neatly into chapters, and that originally they would have been read in their entirety to the community, and it's good to experience it like this. The first reflection that I have as I've been reading and thinking about 1 John is the tone of the letter, the words of endearment that John uses in his letter. Throughout John's Gospel, he describes himself as the disciple who Jesus loved. And maybe that is something that John understood for himself as such a deep knowing from the time that he spent with Jesus. He has experienced God's love for himself. He knows so deeply that there is nothing he can do to make God love him any less or any more. And his deepest desire in writing this letter is that his listeners experience God's love for themselves. He calls them my little children and beloved. His tone is warm and kind, and it draws them in, saying, this is what we know of God's love. Come and experience it. And even the warnings are obviously to encourage people to continue to live fully within God's love. John knows this love is so precious and worthwhile that he invites people to do everything to experience it for themselves and then to live their lives from within that space. We're going to play just a little brief song, because the other thing I've noticed this week as I've been reading these passages is that I've been humming random songs from when I was a kid. And so I thought over the next couple of weeks I might share a few with you. So this, I really liked listening to Salty, the singing song book from Kids Praise. I don't know if anyone remembers that. So you might, you know, listen and remember, and if you are too young or this wasn't part of your experience, you can listen in awe of how cool it was. So this is called Behold What Manna. Go for it.
Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God.
Or children of God. Oh, yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. It then goes into a round and, you know, happy chaos. So, yeah, we could do that. Next week's one, as a wee clue, includes the Bible verse as you sing. So you get points for Bible memory too. Anyway, in following on from our experiencing God's love for ourselves, like John, we're compelled to share that love with others. That is the heart of mission, isn't it? Unfortunately, humans mess up how we go about this very regularly, and it has led to it being all twisted up with the evils of colonialism and other sin. I feel really grateful that our Mission Scope team over the past few years has helped us to explore this history and these underpinnings during Missions Month, and some of the speakers that they have brought have been fantastic. Madeline Lengel, who wrote A Wrinkle in Time, says this: "We do not draw people to Christ by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it." And how do we do this? I think in essence what John says to us through this whole letter is that we are to live as if we fully believe that we are beloved to God. That when God looks at us, it is this, with the same gaze that they looked at Jesus when he was baptized. And it says, the heavens opened, a dove descended, spirit descended like a dove. And God says, this is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. This is my daughter, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And living as beloved compels us to imitate Jesus and love those around us, especially those who are struggling. Henry Nguyen, in his life-changing book, Life of the Beloved, says that when we begin to live as though we are God's beloved, and even when we cannot believe that it is possible, and as we do this, it's what we become. Like a sourdough starter that is nurtured and fed with the best conditions and food, so it makes a beautiful sourdough loaf. When we nurture and feed our souls as beloved, we become that beloved and can share that love around us. John says this love is an active word, an action. We see it lived out in someone's life. John also says that we can discern whether someone else is living as beloved of God by watching them and seeing whether their life imitates Jesus. I think that's something that makes me really so cross with the American church, who are so enamored with Donald Trump. This is my rage at the prosperity gospel teachers and televangelists. They create Jesus in the image of a strong man and completely opposite to the example he has showed us in his life. And of course, sticks and logs, I regularly fail to live as beloved myself. I remember when Mike and I were engaged about 25 years ago, and Anna and Malcolm gave us a book as a gift. It is called The Mystery of Marriage by Mike Mason. Some of you might have read it. Some of you might have been given it to them by them. We've given it to a few people too. One part of it that really still sticks with me, in fact, the minister at our wedding used the chapter in his talk, was about the vows that we say to each other in a wedding ceremony. It basically says that wedding vows are making promises to each other that we are unable to keep, but that we are invited to spend a lifetime working on together. We set ourselves up for failure with these bold, audacious promises, and that is the point. We get to spend the rest of our lives attempting to live them, making mistakes, forgiving each other, and growing together. I think the life of a Jesus follower is very similar to this way of understanding wedding vows. John says at the beginning of chapter 2, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Sin pulls us away from living as beloved. It brings shame and judgment from within us and from those around us. But God gives us a way back through Jesus. We say sorry. We, as Ray Totorewa said, we walk out our repentance. We restore the relationships again. And we learn and grow and mess it up again and rinse and repeat. I think living like this maybe grows us a little as beloved each day. I was spending last weekend with my bestie from university, who she lives in Ecuador, and she was in New Zealand, so I've had a really special time hanging out with her. But one of the challenges we were talking about is when you get to stand up and speak like this, is that most times we're speaking to ourselves, that we can look like we have it sorted, but if you know me, Just ask Mike. You know, I'm speaking to myself in all of this too. There is so much mystery, so much that is challenging and that we just don't understand, that we entrust ourselves and our lives to the mystery of God, trusting by the Spirit of God that she will walk with us throughout about our lives. I did want to just finish by playing this wee clip from The Work of the People. It's a reflection on 1 John 3, and it sort of describes that this learning to live as beloved, being like a little child learning to walk. So we'll watch this together to finish.
Let us love, comes the invitation from the beloved community, a community following Jesus so long that defined their whole beings by it. Let us love, little children. They encouraged each other as if this love was something that was yet unknown and needed to be practiced like a baby carefully watching the footsteps of others until she finally discovers her own feet can move in this way, wobbly and imperfect, but still walking, still following in the way. Let us love, little children, not in word or in speech, but as if our whole bodies are learning this new grace. Let us be bold in learning this new movement, for we will falter, and it won't be perfect, just as we are not perfect. Little children, it will feel new and awkward, and it should. It should feel strange to twist and turn our bodies into love's possibility, to learn how to love in the way of Christ, who is still trying to encourage us to love one another. Let this be what defines us now, in this moment. Not so that they will know that we are Christians, but so that we know who that God's love abides. God's love abides in me. God's love abides in you. I am in you, and you are in me, and this changes everything. That is our prayer right now, that we will come to believe enough that God's love abides in us and be so changed. O Christ, may it be so.